U.S. troops in Syria have begun withdrawing shortly after President Donald Trump tweeted that the U.S. has defeated Islamic State in Syria. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders said in a statement, quote, "We have started returning United States troops home as we transition to the next phase of this campaign." Sanders said the defeat of ISIS does not mean the military campaign by coalition forces is ending. A withdrawal of the troops could mark a sudden reversal in U.S. military strategy in the region. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis and other senior U.S. officials have been advocating for a longer-term military presence in Syria to help ensure that ISIS cannot reemerge as a force in the Middle East. The U.S. has about 2,000 troops in Syria, many of whom work closely with an alliance of Kurdish and Arab militias known as the Syrian Democratic Forces. Despite their preference for an ongoing military presence in the war-torn country, President Trump has said he wanted to bring the troops home when possible. The International Committee of the Red Cross said today that Yemen's warring parties have exchanged lists with a total of 16,000 names of people believed to have been detained as part of a prisoner swap deal signed last week. Fabrizio Carboni, the ICRC regional director for the Middle East, told a briefing that the two parties will have 40 days after the December 11th signing last week to confirm the lists are accurate.
So it takes us more or less to the first week of January, where there we will have 10 days for the release of detainees and bring them back to their place of origin.
The Trump administration has given a travel ban waiver to a Yemeni mother to travel to the U.S. to be with her dying two-year-old son. Shema Swilla planned to fly to San Francisco Wednesday. The boy's father is a U.S. citizen. Their son, Abdullah, suffers from a genetic brain disorder. This is VOA News. The United States and the Taliban have concluded 2 days of marathon peace talks in the United Arab Emirates, promising to meet again in the Gulf country for another round to complete the Afghanistan reconciliation process. Pakistan took credit for bringing Taliban insurgents to the negotiating table to assist in the Washington-initiated bid aimed at ending the 17-year-old Gulf War. Afghan War. Outgoing U.S. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley on Tuesday hinted that the much-anticipated U.S. peace plan for Israel and the Palestinians will bring new elements to the discussion and take advantage of the new world of technology.
Unlike previous attempts at addressing this conflict, this plan is not just a few pages containing unspecific and unimaginative guidelines. It is much longer. It contains much more thoughtful detail.
Haley, who said she's read it, offered no details of exactly what is in the plan, believed to have been 2 years in the making. She said Palestinians have everything to gain by engaging in peace negotiations. Lawmakers in Somalia's southwest region elected a new president Wednesday, with a former leader of a militant group, Al-Shabaab, kept off the ballot despite angry protests last week from supporters. Officials confirmed to VOA that Somalia's former state minister for trade, Abdiaziz Hassan Mohamed, is the region's new leader. Analysts predicted the victory of Mohamed last week after Mukhtar Robow, the former spokesman and deputy leader of Al-Shabaab, was arrested by Somali police and taken to Mogadishu. Cuba is removing language from its proposed new constitution that would legalize same-sex marriage after widespread opposition. The proposal would have changed the legal definition of marriage from one strictly between a man and a woman to a union between two people. The change was promoted by Mariela Castro, a strong supporter of Cuba's LGBT community, and the daughter of Raul Castro, Cuba's former president. But evangelical churches mobilized ordinary citizens to vocally oppose the provision. It's an unusual story, unprecedented, one might suspect, whereby two Roman Catholic nuns in Los Angeles have been accused of embezzling $500,000 from a Catholic school and then using it for traveling and gambling. According to the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, former school principal Sister Mary Kroeper and Sister Lana Chang are accused of embezzling tuition fees and donations, and parents like Jack Alexander are outraged.
All the time when we're hearing that, the school didn't have enough money for this or for that, the reality's coming out is, we had the money. She was just diverting it for her own personal use and enjoyment.
Kroeper is the former principal who'd been at the school for 29 years. I'm Joe Palca, and this is VOA News.
VOA 1. VOA 1. The best music now.